Hey, if you don't know me, my name is Brandon Baldwin. I'm part of the church family here and privileged to be one of our pastors and just so glad to be a part of this. And so, so glad to be able to share the word with you. We are finishing up our series for this summer on hearing God's voice together. We've been calling it Summer Prayer Journaling. Have you enjoyed this series so far this summer? Has it been good? Yeah, it has been. It's been a great time. We're excited to get there, but if it's okay, I'd love to just take a quick family moment first. Can we do that? Before we get to the message, many of you have heard, I'm sure, about there was another mass shooting in El Paso, Texas, recently, and actually today there was a second one in Dayton, Ohio. And, you know, we just remember that we're not here just to have a service, but we believe we're here in the presence of God, and God's heart grieves in these moments, right? And so I just think it's important. We've worshiped the Lord. We've invited him to come and be with us. I feel it's important that we just take a minute to connect what's in his heart. And so the great thing is, where the dark is the darkest is where the light shines the brightest. And so we're not going into this just in fear, but God says that we can come with hope and declare his truth. So can we just pray together and believe for God to do something? Come on, would you press in with me and let's just join our hearts together in prayer. Lord, we pray for these communities. Lord, your heart, we know, is grieved by this loss. It's grieved by the pain. It's grieved by the evil and the darkness. And Lord, we just pray that in those places you would raise up men and women, your people, your church, to come with hands of mercy, hands of grace, Lord, hands of hope in the places of these lost. Lord, we pray that you would surround these families, Lord, and that you would touch them as they grieve, that they would be able, Lord, to, in that dark place, in that pain, in that anger, Lord, would you come and speak to them? May they hear your voice. Lord, we pray that as the enemy wants to use this to cause fear and destruction, Lord, we pray that you would come, Lord, and you would bring life, you would bring hope, Lord, you would bring peace. Lord, peace. Jesus, when you walk in the room, you declare peace to hearts and souls. And so we pray that you would come into Dayton, Ohio. Lord, you would come into El Paso, to those communities, and you would allow your peace to just be felt. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hey, thanks for taking that moment as we work that out. They're continuing to work on my batteries, but we'll be with you in a second. Stephen, if you're good, I'm good. Can we just thank Stephen Allen, everybody? Thank you. Battery extraordinaire. Pretty awesome. I'll go ahead and do this part. Thank you for taking that moment. We do not take it lightly, but we, look at that. Aren't they awesome? To the guys in the back, come on, give them one more round of applause. Yeah, it's great. Hey, so as I said, if it's okay, we're just going to jump back into the message. And I really believe that even in spite of what we just prayed through and what we believe God for, I believe that today's message is so timely and so perfect because we've been talking about it all summer long, and that's this, that God wants to speak to you. And there's many ways he does it, primarily through Scripture, but there's so many ways that our God is speaking to us in the everyday, and it's so important. We've been talking about it, but here's the big truth for today that we're going to be discussing, and it's this, that God also wants to speak through you. And that is so important, and it's so important because our world needs to be connected to a God who is speaking in today. And it's so important for you and I not just to know this, but to live this out and to walk in this. And so today that's what we're going to be focusing on, is that not only does God want to speak to us, but he wants to speak through us. He wants us to not just hear his voice for our own life, but to hear his voice for someone else. In fact, I'll tell you, one of the greatest gifts that you may give someone is not just that you would pray for them, but that you would listen to God for them. And you would share that word. And that's what we're going to be discussing today. How to be a part of sharing God's message of hope and healing and peace and restoration and redemption in our generation and in our world. So we're going to do that. This is a habit of mine in our everyday, just to allow God to speak through me in my relationships. It's something I do a lot, but not just me. I do it with my wife. In fact, I think my wife Hannah actually models this better than I do.
And so I thought there'd be no better person to help be a part of sharing this word than her. So we're going to do this together. Would you welcome my wife, Hannah, as she comes to the stage to share this word? Those are some power heels right there. Come on, everybody.
Hey.
Love it.
Yeah. Now, I'm so glad that I get to be here and get to be a part of sharing this word for you all today. And as Brandon was saying, this is something that is a regular habit in our house. It's one of the ways we parent our kids. We pray and we ask God, can give us a word, give us a verse to lead our children. The one for the summer is, outdo showing honor to one another. And if you have kids or if you have siblings, you know how hard that can be.
Yeah.
So, so that's just something that we do. And then, but also, it's not only for our family. We do it for all the relationships that we're in. If we're writing a note of encouragement, we pray and we ask God, what do you want to say in this note? When we go on missions trips, we pray ahead of time and we ask God, what do you want us to say while we're there? And what is so powerful is that in these moments, when we're asking God to speak through us, we get to see God's love for that person. We get to see them as he sees them, and we learn to love them the way that he loves them.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And so one of my favorite stories was winter, we were ready to go to Senegal. We were going to go visit some missionaries, Brett and Elise Steele. And as we were preparing, we took time and we prayed and we asked God, what are some words that you want us to share with them? And so God gave us several words. We wrote them down, and Brandon wants to share one of his.
Yeah, I can't wait. So this is our official 15 days of prayer journal that we've had. All our 15 days of prayer have been in here. There are 14 days of prayer a few years ago, but we've moved way beyond that. 15 days of prayer now. So but we use this because we want to kind of have a record of every time we've fasted. And honestly, any season we've fasted has been written in this journal. So here it is, Tuesday, January 2nd. We were in about 2 weeks from now, we were going to be, from this date, we were going to be in Senegal. So I want to just share literally what I wrote down, what I felt like God spoke to me for Brett and Elise. And it was this. It was a picture of someone, of them walking someone by the hand in a training circle until they could walk it by themselves. And just this confirmation, this is what God was doing. Now, is that not inspiring or what, huh? I mean, yeah, that's what I felt. I really thought, like, God, that is the weirdest picture, just walking somebody in a training circle. But we wrote it down and we felt like, okay, we're just going to hold it until God says it's time to share it. And so fast forward 2 weeks, past this day, and we're in Senegal, and in their capital city of Dakar. It's beautiful. It's right on the Atlantic Ocean, the other side, but it's poverty and beauty all in one setting. I mean, it's kind of a crazy paradox. So we're driving through, and we come up on this massive stadium that was being built. I mean, it like rivaled stadiums in Europe, for like soccer stadiums in Europe. You know, blows NFL stadiums out of the water. I mean, this thing was massive. And so I asked Brett, I said, hey, so are you guys like a big soccer town? This thing is huge. And he said, oh, no, we're not really big into soccer. We have this special kind of wrestling called Senegalese wrestling. And what happens is there's a circle in the middle, and there's two guys that they have to fight and fight each other, and they have to fight to get each other either pinned on the ground or out of the circle. And so as Brett tells us about it, he's like, yeah, and there's all these special techniques where you train somebody how to stand, you tracking with me, in the circle, and how to fight, how you can stand your ground inside the circle and not lose your ground. And yeah, right? And so, yeah, and so we're in the car when he's saying this, and I said, Brett, God gave us a picture of this when we were praying for you. And I said, God gave us a picture that you were holding somebody's hand, showing them like the circle and how to stand in the circle, and God's saying, this is right, this is the work I'm doing in you. And we didn't realize it, but for Brett and Elise, that word was so affirming because for them, they're in a country that there's less than 2% Christians total. They're trying to plant churches. They're trying to walk with young Christians to become pastors, to lead churches. And they're literally like, as Brett would say, we're like holding their hand through this process. And they're just asking God in that season, are we doing the right thing? Is this the right way to do this? And God gave us this picture like, yeah, you got to show them the circle. And you got to do it. And for them, as my wife, I'm going to steal this line so she doesn't get to say it, but it's her. God was able to use that word to speak to them heart levels deeper than we could have ever encouraged them. Isn't that cool? Yeah, that's the kind of thing God does. Can we just say thank you? Because that was a word God spoke to them. It's awesome. That's what I believe, that's what we believe God can do. And that's what this is about, this powerful invitation God gives us, not just to speak empty words, but words that touch the depths of people's hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect words from him. So that's what today's all about. I will say, though, before we get into it, there is one challenge to this whole thing. And it's one challenge you and I face. We're very familiar with it. And I don't think it matters how long you've been doing this or been in faith or been walking with the Lord. It's just a challenge. And that's this. Even though God does speak through people, and I think we all believe that, we would know that. Here's the challenge of it, is that when he does that, he's always going to speak through someone as imperfect as I am. Right? When God speaks through people, he's going to do it through people who are as imperfect as any of us are. Look at somebody next to you and say, he's not talking about you, though. Don't worry about that. It's good. Husbands, that was your cue. All right. It's good, sweetie. All right, so here's the truth of that, though, and just the thing that we recognize. We've been talking about hearing God's voice, so many different ways he speaks. But this one may be the most complex because more than any other way, this one involves at least two imperfect people, right? At least two imperfect people who are hearing and receiving, speaking and giving and taking and trying to figure that out. And I think that's what can sometimes make this so challenging. We all agree God can speak through others. Most of us would say that. But sometimes, if we're honest, we can be distracted from the message by the messenger. Whether that messenger is someone else or whether that messenger is me. Talk to him about that, baby.
Well, I can imagine we've all been in moments like these. We all have found ourselves, or maybe, yeah, I mean, I found myself being prompted by the Lord. But then I have what is like a Moses moment. I'm like, God, are you sure you want to use me? Are you sure you want me to share this word? God, are you sure they're going to receive it? Are they going to think I'm crazy? Or then we could be on the opposite side where we're receiving the word from somebody and we just have this tendency, not always, but sometimes we have this tendency to lean towards mistrust because someone has used the Lord's name in vain in the past and they've said the word is from the Lord, but it wasn't. Or they've given us a word and we didn't know how to hold it. We didn't know what our step forward was. But today, one of our hopes is for us and for you is for us to help you discover how God wants to share a word for someone and help you discover how you can receive a word from somebody else.
Yeah, it's our heart, and what we feel like God wants us to receive as a church is kind of to dispel that sense of intimidation of receiving a word and also of mistrust. And if I can just take a moment before we dive in to just say this. I really feel like this is so important for you and I to wrestle with. Because the enemy wants us to see imperfect people and wants it to cause fear and division. Fear and mistrust. Well, I can't trust you. I know you. We get distracted by the messenger. But the Lord wants us to be willing to trust his message. Right? To trust one another. He's looking for a people who will say, yes, we believe God can speak and move through one another. And that it's the Spirit of God that can use imperfect vessels. And that's why today is so important. You with me on that? With me on that? So that's where we're going. And so we want to do that. And let me say one other thing on that too. Throughout this series, we've been not just teaching about these things, but we've been experiencing, right? Right? We've been talking about how God can prompt our spirit, how God can speak to us through pain. We've been having moments as a church family where we take time to listen. And today is going to be a little bit more on the teaching side than the experience side. But my heart for that is we're not just doing this for a summer series and then we're moving on. We're saying this is part of who we're going to be as a DNA, hearing God's word together as a church. But today what we want to do is we want to help us know how to do that in such a way that we can walk forward in unity, walk forward in trust, walk forward not in fear but in faith and obey what the Lord is doing. Is that good? So it's going to be a little teachy. It's going to be a little bit like here's some steps to process, but we may not have a moment to experience it today, but my hope is that it informs how we experience it for the rest of our days. Is that good? For the rest of our days. Hey. So, that's good. That's an old song. I can sing the whole thing for you later. But anyways, that's where we're going. So you good with that? Good? Great. Good. So let's dive in here. We're going to look at some principles and some teaching, but I really want to make sure we get this truth down deep in our hearts. I actually already said it, but I kind of didn't emphasize everything that I really wanted to emphasize. So let's go back, and it's this. It's this right here. Listen, God wants to speak through you, through imperfect you. He wants to. I mean, try to wrap your mind around this concept that the living God, the one who created everything by his word, the uncreated being, wants to use you and speak through you. Isn't that crazy? I mean, it's just incredible to think about. And sometimes I think he does it. No, the living God wants to speak through you. The living God wants to give a word that can create life and let it come through your mouth and come through your spirit. This is what's so incredible. I said it a few weeks ago when I was teaching that this is really what Jesus' offer of new life is all about. He didn't just save us by his stripes from something, but he wants to fill us by his spirit for something. That's what new life with Jesus is about. And we shouldn't think that experiencing the voice of the Holy Spirit and experiencing his promptings is an exception. It should be an expectation. And in the same way, we should think and we should know that listening to God for someone else, God for God, it's not supposed to be this rarely happens. No, it's supposed to be our expectation, not the exception to the rule, but the expectation in my heart. God wants us to want this. He wants you to want him to speak through you. And I'm going to show you, the Apostle Paul wrote about this. In fact, in his letter, we call it 1 Corinthians, in the 14th chapter, it's all about this. But we're going to kind of touch on it all day today, just kind of some of the highlights. But I just want to show you why this is true, that God wants you to want this. It comes in the very first chapter. Look at this with us. Paul says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Eagerly desire is this the same word they would use for jealousy. It literally has this sense of a burning that's deep within you. I want you to burn. This is what he's saying. You should burn for the gifts of the Spirit. You should burn for them. And the thing about a gift of the Spirit, a gift of the Spirit is not a gift given to me for me. All the gifts of the Spirit, if you read them, they're gifts given to me for someone else. They're gifts that I'm given to give out. And so he's saying, I want you to burn, that these gifts of the Spirit would be pouring out of you every day in everything you do, especially prophecy. Now, if I'm going to get hung up on any word in this sentence, it's the word prophecy, right? Anyone else with me on that? I don't know why, but here's what comes to mind when I read this. It's this picture of a stout man, long beard. Just picture it in your heart. Come on, guys. And he's just bellowing in perfecteth, old Englisheth, the word of the Lordeth. Right? I mean, is that just, do you just have that picture? That's what I have. It's not from my home church, I promise. It's just what I don't know why I have that picture. And prophecy can be a scary word. A lot of misconceptions, misunderstandings. But really, prophecy, it's not just about telling about the future or something like that. It's really about, listen, speaking under the influence of God's Spirit. Speaking under the influence. And that, and what I love is right after this, Paul goes on to define, hey, here's the parameters of how you should speak under the influence. I love it. It's so good for you and I to hear. I believe this next part brings so much peace to you and I. Here's what he says. The one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, their encouraging, and their comfort.
Man, I love that. I love how it defines the purpose of our message. It defines the tone in which we share it, and it defines our role in the work. To strengthen, to encourage, and to comfort. This should be the filter through which you and I receive a word and how we give a word. And I just want to encourage you, if you're still wrestling with the whole idea of, I don't even know if I can hear God's voice, I just want to, if you are in Christ, you've already heard his voice. It was that inner leading that brought you to him. And John 6:44 tells us that no one can come to the Father unless he draws them. You can't be drawn without hearing his voice. You can't. And relationship requires a conversation. And God wants to keep talking to you.
Yeah, that's so good. So we're going to talk about this. And again, we want to talk about practicals, but this truth, we've got to get in our hearts. And I felt like as we were preparing, before we moved on or said anything else in our message, we needed to have a moment to just say yes to this. I feel like God's saying there's a yes I want you to say yes to, and there's a prayer I want you to pray. And here's what it is. It's, yes, God, you may speak through me to another, but it's also, yes, God, you may speak to me through another. Because we can talk about principles, and we're going to model some stuff for you, and we'll walk through that. But, man, if you don't just have an openness in your heart and your mind to what God wants to do, we see it all in the Scripture that God has spoken plenty of times to people, and it's fallen on deaf ears. Or there's been plenty of times when someone else has been speaking and people aren't receiving. And there's just this sense that you and I, we can't just move forward and just have the how-tos without really having a sense in our heart that we're yielding our heart to the Spirit of God. We're yielding ourselves, our minds, our spirits to say, Lord, you can do this. I'll allow you to do that. And so we're going to pause from this, and we're just going to take a moment to do that. And so, if you're like us, need to have this moment of recommitment, would you just open your hands to the Lord? Just a receiving posture is a way to say yes. That's all it is. It's just symbolic of what our hearts are saying, and we just want to pray together. Lord, we just say yes to you. Lord, that you are a God who does want to speak and move and work. And so, Lord, we just open our hearts to you. We say, yes, you can speak through me to another. We give you the right, and we give you the right too. Lord, you can use someone else. And we won't automatically move to mistrust, but we will choose to follow you in hearing you from another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good? Great. All right, let's get to some of this. This will be fun. We're going to talk about how we do this. And in weeks past, of this series, we've been talking about how God speaks to you, but we're not going to touch that today. We're going to kind of talk about the R&D, the receiving and delivery end of it. After the package has been given, right, it's already in the warehouse, God's already spoken something to me, how do I then deliver that message in such a way that it's not bound by the imperfect messenger, but the perfect message is given? Good? So how do I deliver this word? And the reason why this is important for you and I to talk about is again, what Paul kind of points to. Later in the chapter, listen to what he says. He says that the spirit of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. In other words, you and I are accountable for how we deliver God's perfect and holy message. Okay, so the whole, well, God just came and I lost control and it was just, you know, like, that doesn't cut it. For the Lord, he wouldn't say that's maturity in prophecy. That's not what he says here. He says, no. Sacred things, special things require special attention, right? Holy things require more attention to detail, not less attention to detail. And so, if we really believe that this is speaking, listen, under the influence of the Spirit, that's a sacred thing. And you and I are accountable to God for how we carry this word. So that's why we want to take a minute to say, hey, okay, God's given you a word. What's your responsibility now to handle with care as we deliver this word to someone else. And so as we prayed about this, we felt like God highlighted three questions that you can ask to kind of test the word and test yourself as you prepare to deliver. So Hannah, you're going to give us the first one.
I am. So the first one is, what is the best tone? Again, this is all about using that filter from 1 Corinthians, about asking God, how does this word strengthen, encourage, and comfort? Any word that we give should align with these. In fact, it should sound like wisdom from heaven. James tells us, wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Now, that doesn't mean that a word can't be confrontational, but a confrontational word should always be redemptive.
Yeah.
Paul tells us that if anyone is caught in transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. We all need grace and truth in our life, but it's the kindness of the Lord that leads to repentance. It's humbling, and that kindness is what causes us to turn and to change.
It's good. How many of us want to deliver wisdom like heaven? Yeah? I mean, that's what we're called to do. So what's the best tone? Let me give you a second question to ask, is this. What's the best approach? And here's what I mean by that, is that the audience or the person that you're sharing this word with should inform part of how you deliver the word. So we see this all the time. We see this in Acts. We've been reading as a church through Acts and the Apostle Paul and his missionary journeys, right? He's sharing the gospel. What's incredible to read, if you paid attention, he contextualizes the gospel, not just to every city he goes to, but where in the city that he's speaking. So, if he's in the synagogue, he's going to reason with them from the Old Testament scriptures, the Hebrew Bible. This is Christ. Jesus was Christ the Messiah. And for thousands of years, you've been prophesying about this, and he's come, and this is who he is. That's what he does. But in Acts 17, when Paul is in Athens, and he's speaking to a culture, they have no concept of a one God world. They have no concept of one sacred text, the Hebrew Bible. They don't even know the text, what it says. His approach is drastically different. Listen, the truth is the same, but his approach is different. And so you and I, we should have the same sensitivity. If the Lord gives me a word, listen, I've grown up in the church. I was saved in the womb. I mean, it's just, I've read the Bible all my life, and the B-I-B-I-L-E, that's a book for me. So God may speak to me through Scripture, or he may speak to me truths that I know are connected to Scripture. But if that's a word from my neighbor, who we have a neighbor, they don't believe that the Bible has any authority in their life. They don't even believe that God is real. It's going to change my approach. You understand what I'm saying? Doesn't change the truth, doesn't change it, but it should inform my approach. And that's why we think this is important. I think a second thing that's really important is our setting. It's different if I'm speaking to you one-on-one, or if I'm sharing a word with a small group, or if I'm sharing a word in a room with 300 people and chandeliers, right? That's just a different setting. Some of y'all are like, we have chandeliers? I had no idea. I've been coming for 20 years and I didn't. And if I can be honest, when Paul is writing this in 1 Corinthians, I don't think he pictured this kind of room and this kind of setting with 300 people and how to hear the word of the Lord. But I do think he gave us a principle there in verse 25. It says, listen, everything that should be done when the people of God are together, when you're doing this and you're sharing the word of God, everything should be done to aid to order and understanding of everyone who is hearing. And so here's my rule of thumb. The bigger the crowd, the more concise, and the more clear my delivery should be. Because if I really believe this is a sacred word, I want to make sure everyone in the audience, in the room, who this word is for, that I'm going to speak clear. I'm going to pay more attention to my words. You with me? I'm going to speak with more clarity and with more conciseness because I want to make sure it's heard and understood by the room. Good? Good. That's just a rule of thumb. That's me, not God. You can just stick to the scriptures. That's fine. But I think that's important for you and I to consider. What is the best approach when we have a word of God for someone? The third one, right?
Yep.
The third one is this. What's the best time. And so I realized that most of you missed that, but I just lost every English teacher in the room because it's actually when is the best time, but I got this whole what's thing going on. So can we just embrace the bad grammar together? Can you just open your heart? And let's just say it together. Come on, everybody. What's the best time?
Do not be his sheep. Do not give into that.
That's right.
Sorry. Yeah. Anyways, always ask God when is the best time. Should I share it exactly when? Should I share it now? Should I hold it? If someone isn't ready, willing, or able to hear a word from the Lord, you're wasting the word. It's falling on deaf ears. But the Holy Spirit reveals his time for everything. So I encourage you, write the word down and ask him, when should I share this word? Mm-hmm. Jesus himself modeled this when he was speaking with his disciples, and he said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now. And we can all wrestle in the waiting, but it's way more important to be honoring and obedient to God in that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to just share a quick story and model how these three questions, this processing happened for me. It's actually this week. I was at a conference with about 6,000 pastors. It was a great time of just spiritual renewal and being in God's presence. And one night I was at the altar, and there were hundreds of us there. But God gave me a word for a guy behind me. I had no idea who he was. I still don't know who he is. I don't know where he lives. I don't know anything. But he was about 20, 30 feet behind me, and God just gave me a word. And I'll tell you what the word was. The word was that God had put his word inside of him, but something was blocking it from coming out. It was more, I didn't really have his picture, but I just knew it was being blocked. So I received this word, but I didn't know the guy. And so I literally went through this checklist and just kind of checked my own spirit. First, God, is this the right time? The guy's worshiping. We're at an altar call. He's making a personal commitment. Do I press in or do I pray? And there definitely have been times where God's given me a word to just hold and pray versus say. But I really felt a yes from the Lord that I was supposed to share it. So I said, okay. So what's the best approach? Because I want this to be, again, prophecy, a word. If I'm going to go up there and say this is from the Lord, I want it to be encouraging, strengthening, or comforting. Okay? And so I could go up there and say, hey, look, man, you are blocking it, the word of God it, from your mouth. All right? I could have done that. I don't know that that would have been the right approach. That's just me. And so I prayed and said, okay, Lord, how do I don't know him. I don't know his story. How do I share this? And the God kind of gave me a word. So I walked over to him, and he's in worship. And I was like, hello, young man. Just joking. There's never a man like I ever do this to. I mean, it's usually like, hey, can you come down here real quick? Just come. Yeah, come on. Yeah, thank you. No, but I said, okay, God's given me a word for you, and I know you don't know me, but I just want to share it. And I said, God's put a word inside of you that he wants to come out. That's all I said. And then as I said that, God actually gave me clarity, a little more clarity about the word. It's beautiful. So I took a step of faith. I didn't have it all yet, but I took a step of faith. I went and shared that, and then the Lord said this. That word is so powerful, it can affect change. Listen, like a fire that can melt iron and steel that's been formed and hardened, it'll melt it down and change it back for what it's supposed to be used for. Isn't that? I want to go to this guy's church now that I'm, all right? So anyways, so I share that word with him. And then I pause, and I said, so I know you don't know me, but I felt like the Lord said I needed to share this. Is this resonating? Is this resonating? Is this working? Is this right? And he, in so many words, I won't tell you, but he shared a little bit of his story and said, yeah. And what I received from that is he's open to hearing. So I said, okay, well, there's more to the word. And that is that even though this word is inside you, it's like it's being stopped. And something is holding it from coming out. And he looks straight in my eyes and he says, man, I am so insecure right now. He says, I'm in a new place. I'm in a new job, new position. And I don't feel like I'm strong enough to do this. I don't feel like I have the right. I just don't feel like I'm enough. And so, this is beautiful. I said, well, that's exactly what the Lord wants to speak to you, is that he's put a word in you that can do this work. Don't let your insecurities block it, but would you just let the word come out and you'll see it do what only it can do, what only the Lord can do. Mm-hmm. And we had a moment of prayer. It was powerful. And we finished, and he looked at me and said, man, I'm going to remember this moment forever. Now, here's why I say that. Listen, he's not going to remember me. He doesn't even know my name. And there were 1,000 of us with this haircut at that conference. I'm serious. Wait, who cut your hair? Wait, what's your name? All right, so seriously, he's not going to remember me. I mean, I was there and I was gone. But what he's going to remember is not an imperfect messenger, but a perfect message for his season, for his moment, the word he needed to have, that insecurity would be removed and he'd step in faith. That is what God invites us into. Come on, yeah. Amen. Let's give thanks to God. That is what God wants us. Man, you know what I see in the Gospels? I see Jesus, no matter who he's with, people are just encouraged and strengthened and they're comforted and they're taking steps of faith. But don't you want to live like that? Don't you think that's the life he's calling us to? That we would walk into a room at work or in our homes and we'd say, no, we're going to speak words of comfort and encouragement. We're going to raise courage in your heart. When I parent my kids, what would it be like if I didn't just tell them what I saw, but I said, you know what, this is what the Lord's saying to you. Let's raise some courage in your heart. Come on. I just believe that's what this is about. And that's what we're called to be about. That's the opportunity, the life God is offering us in Jesus Christ. And so we just believe this is what it is. And for all my analyzers in the room, I've given you 3 questions, and some of you, let's be honest, you'd never be able to discern the best. That's good, but that's not the best. I don't know. So I'm one of you. I get it. Let me say this to you. The questions are great. What's best, what's most important is obedience.
Amen.
When I went to this guy, I didn't have everything, but I went in obedience, and that's what matters. So questions are great, and I do think we should consider our delivery, but what's most important is that we step in faith and we trust God to do what we can't do. Good?
Okay.
You good with that? That's awesome. I can't wait for us to do this next week as a church. All right. Let's flip the coin then. And let's talk about this from the other side, and that is the side of someone has come to me and they say, God's given me a word for you. Okay, now how do I receive that? And how do I do that in such a way that I'm receiving what God really wants to say, even if it's through an imperfect messenger? Okay? And Paul actually addresses this. It's in another letter. It's in the book of Thessalonians, chapter 5, the first one. And he says this. He says, don't treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Don't treat someone speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit, don't treat that with contempt, but test them all. Even if you've seen a bad one, even if you've experienced a bad one, don't you throw that out. Don't say, well, that's not real. No. Test them all. Hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil. So we just want to take a minute and say, from this, we feel like God's, again, given us kind of 3 questions. When someone speaks a word to us, how do we receive it? And I want to give you the first one, and that's this. It's about the testing, and this is how we test it. We say, what is this word confirming? What is it confirming? Because prophecy is a sign, one of the signs God uses to confirm and affirm what he's already spoken. Good? So if I receive a word from someone, I'm testing to see, does it align with what he's already said? Does it align primarily with Scripture? And primarily and especially with Scripture, but also, what has God already been speaking to me about? What has he already been showing me? What are my circumstances already? Or what's the sense, the promptings he's already put in my heart? This is what it means to test the word, to test them all, is that we say, okay, Lord, what is this confirming or affirming that you've already been speaking and working in my heart? Good? And so that's number one.
So number two is, what is the good? Paul says, hold to what is good and reject what is evil. There's a sifting that needs to happen when we receive these words. After someone shares a word for you, take time to write it down and listen and ask God if you've heard the word correctly. Sometimes we get so busy formulating our response that we actually don't hear what the Lord is trying to say to us. Or other times, we get so excited about what the Lord is saying that we start to plan and we start to dream and we miss what the heart of the Lord was in that moment. So this is where we hold to what is good and reject what is evil.
Yeah. Something practical for me that I often, and I'll actually walk with other people through this when they come to me and say, hey, I feel like God's giving me something. What do I do with this? And it's something I do if someone shares with me is I try to identify if the word that is being shared, is it a who, or is it a what, or is it a when? Because it might not be all of those. You tracking with me? So, and what I've noticed in my heart is sometimes God will speak to me a what, and I start assuming a when that's going to happen, and how that's going to happen, and who's going to be there, and how that you tracking? So, 4 years before we were married, God gave me a dream about us being married, and there was a lot I assumed in the letter I wrote to her about that. That might not have been all that God was saying. And so I should have let God, in his time, confirm the details and just hold on to what is good. So when someone speaks to us, I'm not just trying to memorize every word that's coming out of their mouth. I'm saying, God, what's the good I hold on to? What's the nugget? What's the truth? Is that good? So that's what's just really important. And then number three, it's grammatically correct. What is my next step? What is my next step? We say next step a lot around here, but it is so vital because when Paul says, listen, don't treat prophecy with contempt. Don't treat someone speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit with contempt. What he's saying is don't reject its value. Don't if this is really a word of the Lord and it has been confirmed and there's good to hold on to in it, it's sacred. And it's valuable. And you need to ask the Lord, okay, if you're saying this to me and you thought today was the day I heard that, how do I move forward? How do I follow you and say yes to this? It is so important, right? God gives us courage to move forward. He gives us courage to step in faith, not just to, oh, man, that feels great. You know, no. He's given us courage to move forward. And so we should say, Lord, what is my next step? And sometimes it looks different. Sometimes it'll look like starting or moving. Sometimes it looks like waiting and resting, but having courage. How many of you know sometimes it takes courage to wait, courage to rest, courage to stay? But sometimes the Lord gives us that word, and that's what we need. And so the step may look different, but what's most important is that step should always lead us closer to the heart of God and in our walk with God. That's what's important.
I just want to take a few minutes to share a story that models both ends of someone giving a word and of me receiving a word. Several years ago, Jay LaRue, many of you know who he is, God gave him a word for me on my behalf, but it wasn't the correct season for him to share it, and so he held it. And he actually held it for several years. And after this season of waiting, Brandon and I were hanging out with Jay and his wife. And we were just sharing where the Lord was leading us at this time. And I just shared how the Lord was burdening my heart for his church and wanting to speak over his people. And Jay knew that it was the time to share the word for me. And that God had given him this picture of me raising up as an Esther that I was going to lead and speak over his people. And so in that moment, God used Jay's word to confirm a word that God was already stirring in me. And he affirmed that the Lord was leading, where I was walking where the Lord was leading me, and I was in step with his spirit.
Yeah, and it gave great hope for you.
It did.
And courage and just a peace for us that we were walking in the right direction and courage to move forward.
Yeah.
Again, this is not just supposed to be the exception, but the expectation, what our hearts burn for, not just for me, but that this imperfect vessel, as Paul would say, a jar of clay, could be filled with the perfect message and word of life and hope and peace from the Heavenly Father to someone who needs it. Listen, if we were just about being saved from something, he would have taken us out of here. But no, he saved us for something. And you and I have to walk every day expecting, eagerly desiring the Spirit of God to work in that way. I mean, imagine what could happen if that was what we experienced every time we came together as a people of God. And we didn't let intimidation or mistrust or bad experiences from the past be what led us, but we allowed the Holy Spirit and obedience to the sacred word of God to lead us. Think about this. What if 30 minutes before our youth, our students met on Wednesday nights, they just started getting together and they'd get in small groups and they begin listening to God for one another, not just praying to God for one another. What could happen in our students if that's what they experienced? And they learned how not to be led by mistrust or be led by intimidation, but to be led by, hey, you know what? I'm going to speak the word of truth, even if I'm an imperfect vessel. Man, what could happen? Come on, what could happen in our schools? What could happen in your home of your teenagers? What could happen if that's what they experienced? Imagine what it would be like if everyone who was around you experienced that. If they walked around you and it was like, man, I just feel like God's near. Man, isn't that what we're supposed to be? Amen? And so today, it's great to have the principles. It's great to have the know-how. But again, it all comes back to this willingness in this in my heart, a yieldedness in my heart to say, God, whatever you say, whatever you would, I'm going to follow and I'm going to obey. Today's about not just the information, but a recommitment to yielding to the Lord and saying, yes, you can speak through me. And yes, you can even speak to me through someone else. And so I just felt like there was no better way to do that than through communion. Again, to remember that communion isn't just about just what I've been saved from, but what I have been saved for. And to take it with that heart and mind. So I'm going to actually ask our ushers and our team to get ready. And they're going to, and Paul and Bob, if it's okay, just tell the team to come down right now and just distribute the communion. If you'll hold it. I know in Hannah's heart, there's one more story she wants to share about why this is so important that you and I walk in this in our everyday life with Jesus.
I was at lunch one day with a friend, and I was listening to her share about her adult children, just who they are, who they have become. She was so proud of them, and rightly so. They're pretty amazing. But there was a moment when our conversation changed, and she said, Hannah, my biggest regret is that I didn't raise my kids in the church. My biggest regret is that they aren't walking with Jesus, that they don't know Jesus. And as she was sharing, my heart became so burdened because I could see the bondage she was in because of where her children were. And as I was praying for her, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to share with her that in God, we have no regret. We have hope. And that there are no regrets in Christ Jesus, but instead we have a hope for redemption and a hope for restoration. That there's no mistake that's too large for him. And there's when we are listening to people's stories, there's this filter that we need to have on. That the enemy brings chaos, he brings confusion, he brings brokenness and bondage. But the Spirit of the Lord, he brings freedom. And he brings healing, and he brings peace. His words are redemptive. His words are restoring. And the enemy, his goal is to keep us far from God. But the Holy Spirit wants to keep us close to the Father. And so that is what I want you to hear today, that God wants to use you to draw others close to him. He wants to use you to spread his message of freedom, of hope, of healing. And that's what this life is all about, that Jesus is expecting us to hear his voice, expecting us to be led by his Spirit, to speak to others, and to share his love.
Amen. Can we say amen to that? Amen. I know we're still distributing, but I'm just going to ask you to stand, and we're just going to take a moment. We still have some church family who's going to still receiving the communion elements. But again, I just want to share this one thought with you, and that's this, that one of the greatest gifts that you may be able to give someone is not just that you would pray for them, but that you would listen and open your heart to the Spirit of God to speak through you to them. And so we're going to take communion, and it's a holy moment. It's a sacred time where, again, we remember the body of Christ, the stripes that he bore for us. But not just for us, but for the world. Amen? And we could be a part of that, sharing that gospel and that good news of hope and freedom. So would you just take a moment in your own heart to just settle your heart before him? Just again, come into this moment of recommitment. Allow yourself to be open to what he would say and what he would do.